This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd LeBorowitz Show, Real Estate Radio and Salem Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. I'm your host, Todd LeBorowitz, and this segment is brought to you by Topaz Mortgage, our preferred partner for mortgage brokering. Well, in the studio with us now is the one and only Chris Lineberger. He got so many companies and titles, but we'll start with the first one. You work at George Washington University.
Yep.
And you work in the School of Business for Center for Real Estate and Urban Analysis.
Yep. I'm the chair and I'm a professor at the business school.
So you're a genius.
Well, I'm the one that is left standing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you also are associated with Locus, L-O-C-U-S, and you're the president, and your motto is Smart Growth America, Making Neighborhoods Great Together.
This is a group of real estate developers like JBG and Federal Realty that are focusing on changing federal and state policy to allow us to build what the market wants.
So you're taking your information and going to the Hill.
That's it. That out of GW, we do the research, and then that informs what the public policy changes that we'd like to see on the Hill.
Okay, and I'm sure that could be a whole conversation for hours and hours going on. Mm-hmm. But let's get into your analysis part.
Yep.
You just came back from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. For the first time, we've looked at 100% of the land use in a major metropolitan region. And nobody knew that the 3,100 square miles of Boston contained 5.5 billion square feet of space.
Oh, wow.
Residential, rental apartment, office, retail, hotel. And we broke it down, and we now know what the product mix is. But the key thing that we were looking at is economic performance.
Okay.
What's performing better than other things? And we divide the world into the two ways we can build the built environment: walkable urban and drivable suburban. Those are the two options. And by the way, they both can take place in the center city and in the suburbs. So don't think of walkable urban as just a District of Columbia kind of thing.
Okay. Well, let's pull up into our area now, Washington,
mm-hmm.
D.C.
Yep.
Talking about specific areas, how would you redefine that?
So here in Metro D.C., we did a study 2 years ago looking at the 43 regionally significant walkable urban places. So like where we are sitting right now in downtown Bethesda, which is a great walkable urban place. And these regionally significant places is where we make our livings. This is where we create wealth. And again, they can either be walkable or drivable. But the research is showing that the walkable urban places are just killing the drivable suburban as far as rent premiums and as far as sales price premiums.
Now, let's get into that, because I remember before the show we were talking about everybody wants to walk to things. And I was telling you that I have a philosophy that if you have children, that drive, whether it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 45 minutes, has to be the biggest peace of mind that you get to call your friends, you get to call your family, you get to relax, listen to your favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned something very interesting.
Well, you're making the best of a very expensive hobby that you're probably, if you're in a drivable suburban neighborhood, you're in a lovely suburban neighborhood, your number one household spending category is, of course, the house itself. Number two is that lovely drive. You have to have a fleet of cars to participate in society, and it's going to be on average 25% of your household income is going to those depreciable assets, as opposed to what we in real estate would rather you spend your money on, more house, which is generally an appreciable asset. So yeah, you can enjoy the great Bose stereo in your car, but you're paying through the nose for it.
But if I stay urban, I can put the Bose headphones on and just noise canceling everything and lock the door.
And walk down the street.
Right.
And you can call your friends on the phone too, on the street.
And while you're getting exercise.
Exactly, yeah.
I love it. This is great. So let's talk about the areas. We got Reston, we got D.C., we got Bethesda.
Metro D.C. is leading the country in this new trend towards building walkable urban places. This is the number one metro in the country. I've now proven that. And we have more walkable urban places, and we have more different kinds of walkable urban places. So it's, downtown D.C. is obviously a downtown, the original downtown. DuPont is downtown adjacent. But we also have tremendous examples of urbanizing suburbs. I mean, Arlington's the model of how we're urbanizing suburbs throughout the country. But then you have Reston Town Center and National Harbor. These are just add water and poof, instant urbanity.
That's wonderful. Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me Chris Leinberger. He is with George Washington University and also his own company, Locus, L-O-C-U-S. And I am your host, Todd LeBorwood, and you're listening to the Salem Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. So can you tell us which area has the most potential for growth? What area is at its peak?
Well, actually, that's what we defined in our research, which is available online. You can go to my website and look at the Metro DC walk-up, wake-up call. And it's a piece of research that we did out of GW. Again, it's a couple years old now. But the thing that came out, I don't know, do you know what walk score is?
I've heard of it.
Okay. This is possibly the most important new thing you will learn today, which is go to walkscore.com. And on a scale of 0 to 100, you can determine how walkable your house is, your neighborhood, your metropolitan region. We use walk score to understand how walkable a place like Bethesda is. And anything over 70 walk score is considered a walkable urban place, and we've now proven it. And what it means to us in real estate is that every one walk score point increase in this market adds $1 a square foot in office rents, 80 cents a square foot in rental apartment and retail rents, and $20 a square foot in housing values.
Wow.
So people are willing to pay dearly to be within walking distance of great urbanism.
Wonderful. Well, what I'd like to offer you, our listeners, is a chance to go to Chris's website and also get the website of the walkable count and everything. Yeah. Just call or text me at 301-467-8444. That number again is 301-467-8444. We'll get you those email addresses right away. I mean, those website addresses right away. Or if you go to our website, dcrealestateradio.com, you'll see the link to Chris Leinberger, and you'll be able to see the actual links there. Or if you have the link from this segment, you can just go directly to it. Now, Chris, a little bit about the DuPont Circle. Underneath, there's land. There's an open space underneath DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I never knew
yep.
that.
Yep. Back in the 40s, they put the streetcar that was running around DuPont Circle under DuPont Circle, just at the same time that they were putting Connecticut underground. Mm. You know, the Connecticut goes under DuPont, just as a lot of the circles in D.C. have one of the roads go underground. And so at the same time, they put the streetcar underground. And so there's a streetcar station that's now closed. And there's an arts group that's attempting to reuse those two long tunnels. And they've about 8 different ways of getting downstairs from the surface. They're all blocked off. You can see them. People just ignore them. Where the bikes are, right mm-hmm. on DuPont Circle, is one of those stations or one of those stairs that go down. It's right now capped. The thing that I would suggest, though, I mean, and the arts use is fabulous on the walls, similar to the tunnel that you have here getting under under Wisconsin to get down to the metro.
Under the Hyatt?
You have it filled with art. Perfect mm-hmm. use. The thing is that what DuPont needs desperately is to be connected to the new streetcar system that's going to be built in D.C.
Oh, wow.
And why not use the underground streetcar station for streetcars and just put them back in use like they were 40, 50 years ago?
Wonderful. So with all the information you know, what's the hot spot right now?
Well, the hot spot, certainly, you know, you take a look at the Wharf, you look at Capitol Riverfront, you look at NoMa. These are places that are just emerging as really hot, walkable urban places that 10 years ago were just deader than a doornail. Obviously, the Wharf is just coming out of the ground there at the Southwest Waterfront. I would also take a look at these emerging places that are not highly ranked, so they still have movement that they can go. So a Mosaic out in Fairfax is just coming, And while it's not exactly Metro service, it's about a half mile away from Metro. Here's a fabulous project. EYA, Avalon's out there, and Eden's is building that. And they converted an old movie theater into a great high density walkable urban place. Union Market is another one that I would keep an eye on. Union Market is right adjacent to NoMa on the other side of the railroad tracks. That's going to be our hip, artsy oriented place.
Perfect. Well, thank you for all that information. But before we wrap up, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. So, do you take your job and look for the urban area that you're like closest to, so everything could be walkable? Or like, how are you picking which one you're picking?
If you're talking about me as a developer,
a person looking to move into a walkable development, you got to start somewhere,
right? And I would follow your own personal preferences. So I personally, when I moved to town, I now walk to all three of my outside obligations. I never get into a car.
Oh, wow. Do you even have a car?
I have one car, 8 years old, 25,000 miles.
Oh, my God. I want to get there. Well, thank you so much, Chris Lineberger. I really appreciate all the information. Hopefully, we can have you back. Coming up next, Sarah Jarik. She's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Housing Counseling at Housing Urban Development, a.k.a. HUD. Coming up next.